Last July, the Supreme Court ruled that babies could be donors with their parents' consent. Babies are deep, rich wells for us. They serenely churn forth a pure, bracing sleep with zero adult terror corrupting it. Since the new law went into effect, we Corps volunteers have been trying with renewed zeal to sign up whole families. We'll tap the parents' sleep, which is often useless to us, a fact we don't advertise, of course, just to get a baby's donation. Pump me first, the mothers implore, so overwrought that they vitiate their draws with cortisone. We do not discuss this with the women, their polluted sleep, the futility of their generosity. We draw from parents because the experience reassures them. Really, what the nurses are draining is these mothers' fear of the unknown. They wake up, refreshed, with no memory of the draw, awash in goodwill. Then we enroll their children in our donor program. 4 months ago, I pitched Mrs. Harkonnen at a drive outside the Piggly Wiggly grocery. I spotted a baby's face pinking out of her pretty woven papoose, and I introduced myself. Mrs. Harkonnen was an easy convert to the Slumber Corps, crying freely at Dory's death story. The baby witnessed our exchange with that eerie calm babies have, dry-eyed and blank. Was her husband with her? No. Could I arrange to speak with him, get his signature? To dispatch a sleep van, we need both parents' consent. 1 week later, I paid a visit to 3300 Cedar Ridge Parkway to collect the consent forms. Mrs. Harkonnen greeted me on the porch with a shy smile, her hands starfished out in front of her. The nail polish was still wet. She'd remembered my name. Trish, come on in. She'd put on red lipstick, was ready with a pot of decaf. Upstairs, the baby was crying. We'd both smiled automatically at the sound. My husband's with her. He signed your papers. She pushed over the consent form. I saw that Felix Harkonnen's autograph was freshly inked. He's a little worried about the procedure. She's our first child, you know. He's a very protective father. The note of apology in her voice unnerved me a little. This was perhaps my first intimation that Mrs. Harkonnen was a very special sort of donor. I'd never met a mother like this, for whom the gift of a daughter's sleep seemed so matter-of-fact. Why did she assume her husband's reluctance needed explanation? But I told Felix all about those poor people on the waiting list. Why this sleep donation is so important to them. How did you call it? A life serum. Then she'd paused, staring intently at me, and I saw that I'd been wrong to think this woman was in any way naive. There was some shrewdness alive inside her kindness, a perspicacity that thrilled and frightened me, that I did not understand. The quality of Mrs. Harkonnen's attentiveness caused my whole body to prickle, as if invisible quills were lifting under my skin. This was a surprise. For the past 8 months, I'd felt brain dead and nerve dead when I was not recruiting. I'd stumbled around in a daze during the periods between our sleep drives, those jagged white intervals of time that I had formerly experienced in unity as a day. Your sister, I can't stop thinking about her. Oh, I'd stared up at the unshaded bulb above the Harkonnen's kitchen table. Gravity can be exploited in these situations. Moisture slid into my pupils. A swimmy seepage of green light contracted back inside the white bulb. I did not cry. Once the kitchen went mad again, I was able to meet her eyes. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for keeping her in mind. My sister would be here today if we'd had Gould's technology. Then my voice broke, and I had to really work to keep my grin from stretching into something crooked and hungry. My eyes felt suddenly dish size, much too large for my face.